Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher Podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi everyone, it's Celine Chinoy. Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. Most of us are familiar with the concept of karma. It's a Sanskrit word that roughly translates to action. Karma is the spiritual equivalent of the cycle of cause and effect, which says that each action a person takes will affect him or her in the future or even in another lifetime. To explain more about karma and its impact on our lives, I invited Carmen Hera, who is known as the Karma Queen. Carmen has a prolific career as an internationally acclaimed intuitive psychologist, best-selling author, radio show host, relationship expert, and a TV personality. Carmen is the author of the internationally acclaimed book, Everyday Karma, and six more critically acclaimed books. Join me for this eye-opening conversation where Carmen explains how karma really works and how we can become more conscious about the karma our thoughts and actions generate. She also talks about karmic relationships and how we can use those as learning experiences. Remember, if you enjoyed this type of content, please subscribe to my newsletter. Hi, Carmen. So glad to have you with us today. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. I'm excited. I'm doing great because I'm working with you today. So that's enough excitement to make me happy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just honored to have you on the show to talk about this fascinating topic of karma and how it affects our lives. I know that you're known as the Karma Queen, and I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating and eye-opening conversation with you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. You're doing a fabulous job. You raise consciousness, you raise awareness, you make people learn and understand the laws of the universe, you know, the ancient teaching, and apply them in a time when we need more than ever to be better, to improve, to reform the world, to understand the foundation of our evolution and how to change things around, as I said, to heal ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely need that information. If we don't have that, it's very difficult to navigate life because, you know, things can get rough and we'd be prepared for situations like what we're facing right now. So it's this type of knowledge that can really help us and be more resilient. So, bringing experts like you, light workers like you, help us get to that place. So again, I appreciate you being here. So let's get started with talking about your story and your journey. I read that your paranormal journey as an intuitive and psychologist began when you had a near-death experience while growing up in Romania. And I would love for you to take us back to that experience and how it led to where you are today.
I was 5 years old and I was by a river with my family, so I didn't know how to swim and I drowned. And I remember, you know, when you have a near-death experience, you actually, the energy that you made of is removing from the physical body. So I remember clearly, even in the second, how I saw myself getting out of the body and going towards a light and feeling a sense of joy and hearing beautiful music and seeing faces that were very familiar. and also saw my body going down the water. So the detaching from the body was an interesting experience, and was not painful, and was very, as I said, very easy to be done. So people that are afraid of that, they should not be, because the process of dying is actually a beautiful process. You feel nothing other than joy. So I remember after my father rescued me. So, and after that, I started seeing interesting things about people. I started having a perception of things beyond the physical world. Like I was able to break the linear time, and I was able to anticipate events and even look at somebody and understand what was wrong with that person. And as I was growing up, I was fascinated by my own ability to see things. I remember that one of our neighbor died, and we were, my family and myself, we were following, you know, the coffin. And I asked everybody, why are we crying? Because I saw the dead neighbor by our side. So I started to see the people who were dead as clearly as they, almost like they were alive. So I was intrigued by my perception as I was growing up, and my ability to things that to see the things that were about to happen. So then I decided to study the human mind, and I was fascinated with psychology and everything. And I said, I need to help the world, and I need to use this ability in my favor, which I did. So, and I started writing books about different concepts, and I started to help people connect to the other side and connect to their intuitive mind. And this has been pretty much something that I continue to do for all my life. And I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you've had such a prolific career. You've done a lot of things. One of the things that you did was you were a singer, right?
Oh yeah. When I was 9 years old, talking about my ability, I participate to a competition and I jump on stage. I was with my parents just to watch a competition, and I jump on stage and I told everybody I'm going to be a famous singer. They were all laughing. And I said, don't laugh, because I said, none of you are going to be famous, but I will be famous. And fair enough, like 7-8 years later, I got my first singing contract, and my first record came when I was 17, and I started touring all over Europe. And in my 20s, I was already somebody pretty known with a number of CDs and singing everywhere. And I had an amazing, fascinating career as a teenager and as a young woman. And I actually came to America with a singing contract. And this is the way I became an American, by meeting my husband. But it all happened because of a singing contract.
Nice, nice. And so at what point did you decide that you want to move away from that and work, do more of the work that you're doing today, you know, with this, as a psychologist, as an intuitive?
Well, I wanted to find out how the brain works and where is this ability coming from. And I realized that actually the mind has many skills and abilities. The mind has imagination, has creativity, has memory, and also has intuition, which is the ability to bridge the two hemispheres of the brain. So then I said, I need to study all of this, and I need to understand how intuition works. And then I decided to go to college and graduate and get a PhD in psychology so that I can use my gift in the most intelligent way and help people scientifically understand what's happening to them and help them in a way better as a therapist and an intuitive in the same time. So that's why I'm the so-called singing psychologist or the intuitive psychologist. I blend my singing, which I think it's a very healing tool for all the people who have all kinds of mental problems. And I've studied the way the mind works and all these mental disorders that exist in the world right now. And I said, well, the music can be a healing tool, but also intuition can help people get more in tune with where they are, where they need to go, and how their life needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's pretty much fusing that creative side of your singing.
Right. Like blending creativity, yeah, with knowledge, with science, with, yes, information, so that you become credible, you know, so, yeah, that you're not just simply any kind of an intuitive, you're somebody who bring all the knowledge in helping people handle their issues in the most professional way.
Yeah, yeah. I love that philosophy. I totally agree.
Right. I mean, I think the more you add in life to your knowledge, you know, the better things become, mm-hmm, the more convincing you become, the more a powerful force you become.
Yeah.
And people need to build a different belief, because everything is in the belief system, because what you believe you become, and what you think you project, reality reflects what the mind projects. And people have a lot of issues not knowing what to project. So yeah. I really think that I'm trying my best to shift people's mind, to make them see the world with different eyes and change the patterns of behavior and, yeah, understand the root of the problem and understand the connection that they have with others in their life and the root of their issues that sometimes might come from before even being born, because we carry all kinds of karmic imprints, which are the memories of the brain. Yeah. We carry them with us, you know, from life to life, from incarnation to incarnation.
Yes.
And there's no doubt in my mind that there is not only one life. You know, there are many lives, and many lives, many masters, and we continue to live, you know, till we finish the karmic imprints, till we resolve everything we need to resolve, till all the lessons of life are learned.
Yes, yes. I mean, and that's perfect. This perfectly leads into my next question, which is about karma. And what everyone's familiar with the law of karma. They know it's about, you know, what you give, you receive, right? Essentially. But I would love to hear more.
It's way more than this. It's way more.
But it's really, what it's really about. Because I grew up in the Indian culture, and
right,
I used to go to, you know, there are Vedic astrologers that say, mm-hmm, your karma is your karma. You need to deal with whatever you did in your past lives, and there's no changing it. So it was always, it almost felt like you were a slave to your destiny in a way. And I didn't like that. I didn't like thinking that I had no free will to change my karma. So what are your thoughts on it?
So I have a number of ways to define karma. First of all, it's the number one law of spirituality, the many universal laws. That are always the same, that they survive the test of time. The laws of the universe, the law of attraction, law of karma, law of totality, law of evolution, law of non-locality. All these laws, they exist. And the number one law, it remains the law of karma, because the law of karma is not a punishable law. And it's not only the Newtonian law of cause and effect. It refers to the imprint that exists in your mind. Like, we come from a drop of imprint, a drop of memory. And that memory is actually, that memory carries the karmic imprint of previous experiences. So everything that you do every single day, through the way you think, to the way you act, to the way you speak, you create more karma. So karma, it's accumulation of thoughts, intention, actions, that will translate into your life. So what I'm trying to say is that karma is actually your luggage, your memory, is everything that that is significant for you to work on. And karma is something that you can eliminate. It's sometimes karma is something that you can erase, that you can reverse. It's something that is not a punishable law. It's something that you simply need to acknowledge, that many things happening in your life has a karmic resonance, a karmic imprint, and need a karmic resolution. So, and many of them, they do come from prior lives. That's why we speak of karmic relationship,
right,
karmic, yep, actions.
I've heard about that.
Individual karma, global karma, family karma.
Yes.
Karma, it's a very complex, and I wrote books on karma. I wrote my first book 20-something years ago. It was called Everyday Karma. And I remember Deepak Chopra told me, oh, I wish I wrote this book. And he actually gave me a great endorsement because he said, yeah, this is such a Sanskrit word. It goes back to the Indian philosophy that, yeah, we go from life to life and karma is something that we take with us. And actually my book starts by saying, when we die, all we take with us is our karma, which is our memory, meaning all our action, deeds, and everything that represents us, we take with us. So I think that it's a very complex and very powerful law that should be understood in its complexity. And most likely, you know, people who don't understand karma just in a simple law as cause and effect, like the Newtonian law, they don't actually understand how it functions, and they have a hard time correcting it, which in fact, your action, your deeds can be changed. And if you generate bad karma, you can go the next day and create positive karma, and you actually annihilate the negative things. And so that's why it's very easy to identify the karmic pattern of behavior and to correct it. And then you are free from the negativity of karma that you carry all the time. Because karma is like a luggage you can never lose in an airport. And you carry it with you over and over. If you don't identify it and if you don't work very hard to release it and to resolve it and to heal from. It's very significant to understand that karmic patterns of behavior exist very much in karmic relationships. In other words, some people coming in our life, they are karmically tied into us. So there are karmic relationships. So when you get involved in a karmic relationship, then you need to become aware that is a karmic relationship versus a compromised relationship or versus a transitory or versus a soulmate relationship. Because yeah. Karmic relationships are very different.
How is it different, the karmic relationship?
Karmic relationship come out of the blue. Yeah. They just come out of the blue. And usually they come in karmic years. When you are in the karmic year 4 or 8, chances are that you're going to meet somebody that you knew before. And that person you knew before, you carry memory from a previous incarnation. The karmic relationships are very intense, extremely powerful. And even if you want to walk away from them, you can't, because the karmic relationships are forcing you to work on that pattern of behavior and that pattern of thinking to heal a relationship that probably was never healed from a different time. Mm-hmm. So then you have to realize that person is coming into your life because that person had to be present in your life, and you need to identify the connection you had with that person. And then you have an easier way of healing, of making peace. And when a karma is resolved between two individuals, they can walk away from each other like nothing happened, like everything is over, everything is done, everything is resolved, and there's no need of going back. So karmic relationship, as I said, are powerful, the most intense of all relationship, forcing you to pay attention to them. Let's say you're perfectly married, you're happily married, everything is fine, and you meet somebody one day that you have such an intense feeling that doesn't make any sense. You cannot explain it. Mm-hmm. You just feel forced to go. You feel compelled. You feel an attraction that you cannot explain. Yeah. And you feel towards that person in such a familiar way that, again, it doesn't make any sense. So the karma can come to you when you don't even expect it. Yeah. And somebody can come karmically into your life from a previous experience, forcing you to pay attention. So, but that karma can come to an end if that relationship comes to an end, that it is resolved in this life. And when that happens and the karma is closed, then you walk away from each other without ever thinking of each other, you know? It's like something comes to an end very easily. Yeah.
I have a question. So What if you are stuck in a karmic relationship and what we call right now situationship, right? And you can't end it, right? Maybe the person is unavailable or it's just the situation is not allowing you to get connected in some way, you can't find that closure. So what do you do to find that resolution and learn the lesson from this karmic partnership?
You're not going to have an answer unless you go to the moment that created the karma. So you have to go and revisit. Sometimes you have to go and do hypnosis to access the memory in the subconscious mind where that karma was originally created with that person. Because only when you go to the root of the problem, then you have a solution. It's exactly like you can't operate on the effects. You have to operate on the cause. So you have to know what created a certain karmic imprint. In order to delete the imprint, you have to take away a memory in your brain, and you want to delete it, you have to know the source of it, where it happened, why it happened, and why is it there, and then you can delete it. You understand what I mean? If it's not identified, if a karmic imprint is not identified, then you got stuck into it. Mm-hmm. And the danger is that you need to incarnate a number of times till you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Because no, I know coming that. Over and over all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So you need to go back and find the source to be able to heal and close the karmic door.
And you recommend doing hypnosis and...
In cases in which you feel stuck with somebody, which happens a lot, then the only way is identify the root of the problem. And as you said, sometimes it's very hard. Then the way to do it, you access your subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind has all the knowledge about you. Subconscious mind is 90% of the ability of the brain, where all the memories, all those karmic experiences will continue to exist. It's like your record is there in your subconscious mind. But we don't operate on the record. We operate on the consciousness, on the sensory. So while we're awake, we live on the world of the sensory. But when we go to sleep, all those memories start to wake up sometimes. And then we realize many things that are that have been happening to us, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have dreams that you cannot explain because they come from previous experiences that have nothing to do with this life. So that's why accessing the subconscious mind in many cases can be only done through hypnotherapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's great. And just going back to karma in general, I find that there are two types of people, right? There's one set who are aware of karma and they feel that they have no control over it, that, you know, they have to deal with their karma and whatever, you know, whatever things they did in, you know, earlier times in their life or even in previous lifetimes. And then you have another set of people who don't even know about the concept of karma and just do whatever they want to do. You know, they have unethical behaviors and they just feel like they can do anything without facing any consequences. So my question to you is, what would you say to each set of person? The first one being those who feel like they're a victim of their karma. Let's start out with that.
If karma is not a law that victimizes us. Mm-hmm. It's not a punishing law. Mm-hmm. It's the law of restitution. It's the law of justice. It's the law that creates order and stability. So karma is something that is supposed to bring you, is a reflection of the things that are your weaknesses, that are your wrong action, that are something you need to correct. And it is a reflection that is coming constantly in your life until you really learn it and until you really want to do something about it. So in other words, if you try to pretend that, okay, it's not happening to me, it keeps on coming back to you and it keeps on bugging you and it keeps on knocking at your door and you said, hey, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. Unless that's why a lot of people feel they're stuck into a pattern of something.
Yes.
And they turn around in a circle and not knowing, what am I?
Yeah, I mean, it's relationships.
Why am I dating the same alcoholic? Why am I dating a cheater? Why is my husband doing all this to me? Every single man I marry.
They feel like a victim, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but then I feel victimized. But in fact, I'm victimizing myself. Karma is now victimizing me. I'm victimizing myself, but not taking charge, not working on finding what it is that I'm doing wrong. So in other words, karma is a wake-up call. It's something that, as I said, it knocks at my door. It tells me, pay attention to this, because if you do, you can free yourself and break a pattern of behavior, and you will stop attracting the same nonsense in your life. You will stop going to a job and fail the interview 20 times. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because already if you put something in motion and the memory is created in the negative way, it keeps on repeating. So karma is repetition, something that people forget to mention. Karma means it keeps on repeating and repeating and repeating.
The pattern.
So the pattern keeps on repeating. That's what karma is all about. Mm. It's not so much a Newtonian law. It is a law of repetition.
Yeah.
And a law of order. You know, that's why it's the number one law of spirituality, because it places things in order until you really acknowledging it. If you don't acknowledge it, it stays with you. It stacks with you. It's the luggage you'll never, ever lose.
Yeah. So it's having that awareness to recognize this repetition of this repeating pattern in your life and saying, okay, I need to take a look at this and see
what. The moment you see something keeps on repeating and you don't like it and it's bothering you and it's unfair, then you have to take a deep breath and say, okay, there's something karmic here. In other words, there's a repetition of something that comes from somewhere. I need to identify. I need to shift up in my perception. I need to change the pattern of behavior in order to delete the karmic experience so that it doesn't happen to me anymore.
Yeah.
The danger is that for a lot of people, the same thing happened ever till the end of their life. And that's a sad story. That's why karma is such a powerful force. And it's probably the most powerful force in our life. Because life shouldn't always be dull and boring and repeating the same nonsense. Life should evolve. Life should transform. And we should continue to go to a diversity of experiences and never get stuck. But if karma stays on the way, it blocks us, you know. It can be that wall that you can never cross.
Yeah, no one wants that, right? We want to evolve, we want to grow and reach our potential.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you learn and resolve that, there's a lot of growing coming from that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And right. What advice do you have for anyone who's dealing with people who are just not aware that they're creating karma? Like they say things and they do things that are just mean or just, you know, hurtful. Like what do you do if you're having a partner or a loved one or somebody who's just...
They're in a very critical, judgmental world, a world that judges, that blames, that attacks, even in the media, even in the politics, it's all attacking each other. It's all like judging and blaming. And that's why we're not progressing. You know, and that's one of the reasons. And what humanity is experiencing right now, it's a karmic disease. This COVID, this is a repetition of something that happened to us 100 years ago, will continue to happen because it's a karma that is not learned. And it's not that we are punished for this disease. We are bringing it back to us because you already had it. You know what I mean? That's why if the first war happened, the first world war happened, the second war happened, the third war will happen, because these are biological wars, because already put in motion something that happened and is unhealed and unresolved will continue to manifest. And that's the way karma works. So at the global level exists karma as much as an individual level exists karma, exists at a family karma exists. So karma exists at different levels. And the biggest level is the global level, when the whole humanity is involved in a karmic pattern of behavior for thousands of years. And unless, you know, we have the ability to stop the judging, the blaming, the hate, the killing, it all creates the worst karma ever. The moment we stop doing what we've been doing constantly for thousands of years, the way we stop, then we're going to see how beautiful life on earth can be. Then the golden era of peace will start. Then the golden yuga will start. And it's interesting, we're at the crossroads before the Kali Yuga, the dark era for the last 6,000 years, entering into the golden yuga, but we're in transition. talking about ancient teaching and talking about karma. So if we're able to identify what we've been doing wrong for thousands of years and take charge and do something to shift this and stop the blaming, the judging, the attacks and the killing and the hate against each other, you know, if we do this, then life on earth will be paradise because we have everything to make this world so beautiful. The nature, the divine, the everything is magnificent. We are making it bad. This is not God. This is the darkness, the shadow within us and the repetition of a wrong action, which is called bad karma.
Yeah. And I think, you know, trying to be our higher self and reach for the light, it's not, right. It's not something that comes to people easily. And that's why I think we need people like you to raise awareness about, hey, you know, that we need to be better than this. We need to grow our consciousness so that we can change the collective energy.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, in the media and in the social media, nobody talks about this. People love to gossip. People love to blame each other. People love to find out all kinds of juicy
things. And it's all about the ego.
Somebody else, but nobody talks about what matters for us collectively in order for us to finally change life overall and stop these diseases and stop the perpetuation of tragedies and suffering, because we create so much suffering, so much pain for humanity, you know. And I feel really sorry for future generation if we don't do something. The generation now doesn't take charge of resolving issues that went wrong for such a long time. But we need leaders that are more spiritual. We need leaders that are understanding what this is all about. We don't need leaders that are greedy, that are, you know, unaware of it, and all they care is about themselves, and they're narcissistic, and they, you know, we don't need that kind of a leadership, because that's not going to do us good. That's not going to create healing and peace, and that's not going to resolve humanity's karma at any rate.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, even with the social media culture, with Instagram and everything, it's all about ego. It's all about...
Right. All you see is the promotion of, I hate to say that, some form of a pornography. And
I know. And that's really
sad. That's not going to help us. That's not going to help the mentality. That's not going to help us heal. That's not going to make us come together. That's not what we need. You know, we need to raise consciousness to create healing by taking accountability for what we did wrong, and we need to finally stop doing it and stop the killing, stop the attack, stop the judgment, stop the blaming, stop the instigation, stop the racism, stop the violence against innocent people, stop the hate between men and women. So that there's been a lot that has been going on for humanity that was wrong and bad karma for such a long period of time.
Yes, and 2020 seems to be the year where just so much is happening.
All we are, there's like, we are forced to see it. And if we don't see it, we'll continue to be forced to see it. So everybody says, when is this pandemic going to go away? It's going to go away when we will acknowledge our wrong action. Right. And that moment, pandemic doesn't exist anymore. The word doesn't exist anymore.
Yes.
Because this pandemic doesn't come from the outside world. It's come from the inside world.
Right, yeah.
This is not sent by the divine. The divine is not going to hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, the law of karma is not going to hurt us. We are creating bad action that will reflect back to us and it's going to hurt us, no one else. But the moment we will wake up collectively and say, this is what we're doing wrong, and this is what we're doing wrong for such a long period of time, and let's come together, we'll be forced to come together.
Yeah.
And you're not going to believe it. This is going to happen in the last 5 to 13 years. We will go through such a turmoil and such a state of chaos that's going to force us to come together and rethink everything about us as a living organism, because we have the oneness, the totality. We are one humanity. We are only one. And the moment we will wake up together and start to acknowledge what are we doing wrong towards ourselves, then we will be saved. And then life on earth, you know, we'll eradicate the evil, and then life on earth will be peaceful and harmonious, because we actually going towards the era of the golden yuga, which is the era of peace.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot for us to work on collectively. And, you know, right. Mahatma Gandhi once said, be the change you wish to see in the world.
So, to see in the world, right.
And to end this, what advice do you have for people who want to help change things, how to create that positive shift that you really are strongly suggesting for the human race? What can we do on an individual level to contribute?
Well, everything, you're right. Everything comes with one thing at a time, one person at a time, one individual at a time. And my advice is look within your life, look at the things that are happening within yourself. Look in which way, you know, you relate to the world, and try to be a participant. Try to do something good. Try to do an act of kindness, helping an older person, helping an animal, you know, plant a flower, do something that makes you feel fulfilled and accomplished. And don't think bad about anybody. And forgiveness. Forgiveness is everything. Since the dawn of time, the universe said forgive, which means detach, remove yourself from the darkness, from the negativity, and make peace. Forgiveness and peace is the word for every single individual. So make a list of all your negative emotion, eliminate them, make a list of all the people you need to forgive and forgive them, you know, and make a list of all the beautiful things that you want to see in your life and believe in those things, because believing means becoming. You know, and the moment you believe, the things start to come to you, because you attract them, you reflect them in your life. Mm-hmm. And the shift can be sudden and pretty remarkable. And I'm a very big optimist that there's where the world will be going. And if we're resisting the change, we will be forced to make this dramatic change for better. There will be no other way.
Yeah, and I think that also happens in our own personal life, right? Until we get the lesson, our karma will just
from the microcosm to microcosm, from your individual into the global. So, yes. You know, this is the way it always works. That's why everybody listening, look into your own life, you know, correct the things you need to correct, you know, and then try to unite with all the people that you thought for a very long time are your enemies. Forgive them, love them. You know, an enemy should be loved. Mm-hmm. The people who hate you, give them love in return, because probably you don't want to embrace the philosophy, but this is the only philosophy that can bring us together right now. Because if you hate somebody who hates you, you create more hatred. If you send love, you annihilate the feeling of hate and rejection, and you annihilate frustration. And you can start to bring the good within you. You can bring it in somebody else. And we spread that positive energy. And I do believe that slowly, slowly, we can achieve this extraordinary transformation of mankind in the years ahead. And we'll be able to cross the bridge to the new era that's just in front of us.
Carmen, that's so profound. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for offering your wisdom and your insight. I'm sure so many people had breakthroughs by listening to this. And we could talk all day, but I think we better end the conversation here. I really appreciate you making the time to be here with all of us. For those who want to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Celine, they can find me by putting my name out there, Carmen Hara, C-R-M-E-N. Harra, carmenhara.com. They can find me on social media. They can find me on Instagram, on Facebook. I do lives all the time in which I speak directly with people and counsel them and offer them advice. They can send me emails if they need me with something. I'm a great advocate of human health, of mental health. So I work a lot helping people to mentally be okay. And if they need me, if they have any problems with the mental health, they can write me at carmenhara@aol. carmianhara@aol.com. And they can connect with me in so many ways through the social media. I'm always available because I believe that this is my mission, and I think everybody should have this mission of offering help, you know, in this trying times.
Yeah, absolutely. Carmen, thank you for being such a force for good and spreading your light. And we just need more people like you in the world. So thank you again, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.